Leveron Hirschkorn here, your host of the E-Commerce Mindset Podcast. And in today's episode, we talked to Michael Collins, and I really brought him on to talk about the power of copywriting in e-commerce and as it applies to Amazon. But you'll find we get into a deeper conversation about building a brand and about the power of creative as well as copywriting and email marketing. I really think you'll enjoy this episode and take away some nuggets for building your brand in 2021. The podcast is sponsored by IncrementumDigital.com, which is my agency focused on helping brands and Amazon sellers accelerate your sales with the power of Amazon advertising. We're also fully managing brands. I actually posted on Facebook just today how we're utilizing inserts to drive more reviews. You can check out that post in the e-commerce mindset group as well. And if you are looking for financing for your business, growth capital for your business, you can reach out to me as well. Just helped a seller secure over $1 million for their business for 2021. They're super thrilled, and it was a very reasonable offer of just-in-time capital. And lastly, if you're looking to exit your brand, I'm part of a group that is acquiring brands. You can reach out to me as well. My email is in the show notes. Enjoy this episode of the podcast with Michael Collins. Okay, so we have with us Michael Collins. Michael Collins is a copywriter and marketer, also happens to be a drummer, spent the last 10 years living all over the US, spent a couple of years living in China, working also with one of the top sellers of all essential oils on Amazon, learned direct response directly or from some of the top students of Gary Helpert, and has a lot of deep insight into copywriting, and has done a lot of work in the e-commerce space. Actually got introduced to Michael because I was looking for a copywriter. And then got to learn about his deep experience both into copywriting and e-commerce, and wanted to have Michael on the show. So welcome to the show, Michael.
Thanks, man. Stoked to be here.
Cool. Thanks. Thank you. Why don't you share a little bit about, how you got into, copywriting and then sort of marrying that with e-commerce.
Sweet. Yeah, so I kind of stumbled into copywriting. When I was 19, I was playing in a rock band. I grew up in Utah, which is famous for its like big Mormon population. Mm-hmm. And I grew up Mormon. I'm not Mormon anymore, but I grew up Mormon, and it's like very famous within Utah that Mormon parents will like have their kids learn piano from like the cradle, basically. So. Mm-hmm. I started playing piano since I was 4 years old. And then when I was 12, I started playing drums and I started getting into rock and stuff. And then when I was 19, I had this band in high school, and we were playing a lot and writing a lot of music. And since I've been playing since I was four, I was always very good at music, very talented. But the problem was people just weren't showing up to see us play. And I didn't really know why that was. And I had no idea how promotion works, how marketing works, how anything like that works. Basically, we're just going to empty venues, playing to no one, and then going home. So there was really no way we could be exposed to anyone. And I just didn't know what I was doing in that regard. So I basically stopped playing music. And then I spent the next 10 years, I lived all over the United States. I lived in San Diego. I lived in Austin, Texas. I lived in Boulder, Colorado, Kansas City, Missouri. And then I moved over to China, where I worked with a big e-commerce company. I think it was within the top, 100 in Shenzhen, which is basically mm-hmm. the manufacturing capital of the world. So that's quite mm-hmm. an achievement. So I spent 2 years there, and in all these places I was working with, maybe an entrepreneur or a direct response marketer, I was being mentored. I basically traveled to all these different places to be mentored by the smartest people I could possibly find in that moment to be mentored by. So throughout that all, I was basically exposed to the world of direct response, which I didn't really know that much about to begin with, but it's just such an incredibly powerful way to drive action and basically get the result you want. And so when I learned about this method, I really went all in on it. And as I was learning to promote my band, I started writing copy for clients as well. Because that's I joined I started doing all this stuff to play music, but I stopped playing music shortly after to just focus on business and stuff. And I actually only started playing music again last year after I kind of completed this whole journey. But yeah, so that's how I got into copywriting, is just to promote my music. And along the way, I just sold a bunch of products. So
Nice.
yeah.
So what would you say, I mean, from a insider's viewpoint, as you read, I'm sure you read copy across the web, across ads, across e-commerce listings on Amazon and off, and everywhere you probably read copy, you probably look at it with a different set of eyes. I know if you're an architect and you walk around the neighborhood, you see things that other people don't see, right? Because you're looking at it with an architect's eye. And I'm sure you look at copy with a copywriter's eye. What would you say is the biggest mistake that you see people making in their copy? That if they thought about it differently, they might write their copy differently.
Yeah, so maybe the biggest one of the biggest takeaways for me is that copy is really learning what the other person like speaking directly to what the other person really wants. And that sounds like the most obvious thing in the world, but like I think a lot of times we're just too in our own, we're like thinking about what we want or like what we think the customer wants. And in the process, like I was just shocked. And even reading, it's funny, even my copy. I'm writing a ebook for a client who just, I was working with them in China and I did a lot of work for them in different products that did really well. But I was looking at that copy I wrote and I was blown away by how far off I was from like the mark, really, like with my current mindset of knowing, of just knowing the simple things that like that make people want to take action. And honestly, it is a little, it's like a little, I mean, humans are just like kind of irrational, kind of emotional, and we want, like you see this with Amazon reviews, like you get all these 5-star reviews, you have a bunch of sales, then you get that 1-star review, and then it just like knocks the conversion rate down. Like for whatever reason, we're like irrationally, we just want things to be amazing. We want the like magic pill. We really do want that. And I think a lot of people don't realize just how badly we want things to be easy and cheap and everything like that. So they won't really talk about that. They'll kind of beat around the bush instead of just directly going to the root of what people want. This is a, it's not Amazon, but I've worked in the financial publishing space a lot, which is like stock investing and that kind of thing. And the big epiphany for me was just like learning like, oh, people want to see like big returns on their money quickly. And that sounds so obvious, but like when you're able to talk about that in a way that's not like, if you're able to like eloquently talk to that side of people, that very irrational side of people, that's where the results come. So
How
that
do you integrate that concept without making oversized promises that you can't deliver on? Because to me, that's one of the areas where, I think there are marketers and then there are marketers, right? Like
Yeah.
there are marketers that know how to market, and also behind what they market is actually like something of value that they deliver on that is the same with a product, right? At the same time, if I'm selling if I'm selling a weight loss supplement, like I'm gonna have to toe the line between, you're going to lose weight easily and quickly, or no, this will help you, but you still need to like eat right and diet, right? Like, and but if I say that, I'm not appealing to like
Exactly.
the easy button that the person wants. So
this is a challenge. Exactly.
yeah. So how do you integrate, sort of, because it's easy to make crazy promises, But obviously, if you can't back them up, it's going to be a short term win and a long term, you know, detriment to your brand.
Yeah.
So how do you sort of reconcile incorporating great copy while maintaining integrity?
Yeah. So first of all, I would say it's not necessarily easy to make a big promise. I think that's a misconception, because honestly, some of the copy out there, especially for beginners, I know myself as a beginner, and John Carlton, he's one of the most famous direct response copywriters. He said a bad copywriter cannot give away free gold to people. Like they won't be able to, because think about it. You come across an ad that's like free gold and you're like, that's complete nonsense. Yeah. Like you would never in a million years like think to do that. So there's definitely an art to saying free gold in a way that makes people believe it and actually take action. So that's the first thing I'd say is like, and that's actually I think that's a mistake that actually causes people to like blur the moral line, is that they actually don't really know like how to make this kind of promise. So they're like, oh, lose weight overnight, because that's like the obvious thing. And lose weight overnight is what people want. That's the tricky thing. But you have to like give it to them in a way that like, and then you have to give it to them in a way that they believe. And then you have the ethical line, and then the legal line, especially in health, which is a lot more restrictive than a lot of people think. So how to toe that line is really, it all comes down to really learning the customer inside and out, which is what most people don't do. And that involves like, there's this really famous book called Breakthrough Advertising and Direct Response. And it's Eugene Schwartz, and he goes into a lot of detail about basically finding the dominant like emotion that people have that's causing them to want to buy in the first place. And that's, you find that by going, Amazon reviews are a really good way to do that. You basically go through all the reviews and you find what's the number one thing that people are always mentioning about a certain product. And then you can kind of like categorize that. Like when I was in Amazon, we had when I was in China, we had a VA that would go through all of our, like all the reviews in the market, and they would highlight like the number one thing out of all the reviews. So we would just have that in front of us. And you know, the number one thing people are looking, maybe it's like, maybe with a supplement, they wanted to know it was made in the USA, or maybe like they wanted to know it had like some kind of like turmeric, it had this black pepper in it. Like they want to have this, like if you can figure out what they really want, then you talk to them. You basically can talk to them a lot more clearly. And you're not just making it up as you go. It's like, oh, I want to make like a big promise. It's like you figure out what they want, and then you show them how your product is making it easy for them within like the parameters that they're willing to accept. It's kind of confusing. But I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like, that's how you have to like, how to talk to people in this way where like, you do hype some things up, and you do like make it easy and fast and like new, but at the same time, like it has something behind it. They already are thinking these things in their head, and when they read that, you know, already know like what they're thinking, like that creates a lot of rapport and trust. And so that's the side of things of actually figuring out what they want to hear. And then actually saying it in a way that like you can live with yourself. There's the legal line, which you can always like, I mean, you don't want to go past that, obviously, but it's like to a lot of people, the legal line is like even past their own moral line as well. So it's like they could be legal, but they still don't feel good about themselves. So like that's really the challenge. And that's like what any marketer has to deal with, is like how far do you want to go over that line? Because there's always going to be marketers that are willing to basically go to the legal line or even beyond that. So you gotta figure that out yourself.
So when you were working, so that's you know, I think helpful. And I think the Amazon reviews, right, can give you a tremendous amount of insight into what people like and don't like about products, and then how you can turn that into copy on your own products, as well as like just how you can improve products and make them better. What would you say, you know, when you worked with this brand in China? I think before we got on, you were kind of managing their entire Amazon business.
Several brands.
So how would you say, I mean, I'm assuming they had existing copy and you took it and you revamped it. Is that part of what happened? And like, if so, did you see results, from, you know, sort of taking copy and reshaping it with a copywriter's eye into an Amazon listing?
Yeah. So mostly what we did, when my team in China, like, we were focused on relaunching brands or launching new products. So I didn't do a ton of like split testing, like, oh, they have this like hair product. Now I'm going to come in and write 5 new bullets and then we'll see like if the conversion rate increases. I didn't do too many of that. Instead, we focused on launching products from scratch that just would dominate as soon as we launched them. And a lot of that was like the research and finding the right product and getting the right sourcing and the price and everything. But then from that point, it was basically 100% branding I found on Amazon. Like, we put a ton of attention into the packaging. Like, we had this artist, he's like this Brazilian designer artist guy, and he was just a genius with packaging. And since we lived in China, we were able to get really, really high quality packaging for extremely cheap. So then when we'd send the products over, we'd be competing with people who would have the same exact product from the same supplier as us, but their packaging would be like, they maybe had it packaged in America, or they were using a default like Chinese manufacturer packaging. And so the experience of the product was like completely different. Like, ours would have like just layers, the packaging, and a lot of thought and like every like attention to detail. And the competitors might have the same product, but it would have none of that. And so really quickly, as we'd promote it, you'd start to see in the reviews, so many people mention packaging. It blew our mind. Like, we just didn't realize how important that aspect was.
And was this in the beauty category or just that, across categories?
That was in essential oils. We also had an adult products brand where we did the exact same, making under, 10 grand in revenue when I took it over, and we rebranded it, we renamed it, we redesigned everything, completely new packaging, all this stuff, and we relaunched it in Q4. And around Christmas, we started, I think that made like 300 or 400 grand in sales with that same product that was like really dead in the water. So the copy, I think copy is extremely powerful on Amazon. I can't say like specific tests I did, just because we focus on like launching brand products and we make sure the copy, like, I go through that process I talked about where I find the like dominant like thoughts and stuff and put that in the bullets and the A+ pages. But we also made sure that the design of all that stuff was incredible. First picture, and now that designer he's still in China and they have a whole new company and they're just crushing it right now. And he told me that basically they look at the first picture of a search result on Amazon. They find the categories where the first picture can easily be crushed, and if they can dominate with their very first picture, then they pretty much don't lose. So
wow, that's super insightful. Earlier this year I had John Hefter of Thrasio on the podcast, and one of the things they've been able to do is, you know, acquire brands and grow the revenue after acquiring them without launching any new products in those brands. And what it came down to, the insights from that show, what it kind of came down to, and if you haven't listened, for those of you listening, if you haven't listened to that episode, go back and find it, because basically it was a lot of what you're saying in terms of they acquired a brand, gave it a facelift, didn't do anything else, and saw tremendous growth from just working on the creative, and that's, you know, photography, packaging, you know, graphic design, video, all these copy, including all these elements that can really help you grow the sales. And I think that's only going to get more important in 2021, because there's a significant amount of money coming into the space. And that means, you know, that means people willing, who at least understand the space and have the money, are going to be willing to invest. Actually, we, you know, I just acquired a brand. It was basically one listing with three SKUs, and it's doing well, but there's so much opportunity to, as you talk and, you know, as I think about it, to revamp the packaging, to, you know, revamp basically the entire listing, give it a facelift, give the storefront a facelift, and just do so much more with it. And there's, I believe, so much untapped opportunity on products on Amazon that have not invested into the creative side. They've kind of put all the money into inventory and PPC and maybe launches, but not really into the creative customer experience, packaging side of the business. So, you know, I think what you're saying should really drive home for those listening, that this should be, you know, a big area of focus for 2021.
Absolutely.
So you saw a lot of growth working in that. How do you see copy for Amazon versus copy elsewhere? Because obviously you have limited, you don't have a fully sort of, you don't have the full attention of the person, because they're ads on your page for other products versus them being on your website, where you can structure things differently, you can use copy differently, versus on Amazon where somebody only may be reading, you know, skimming through a listing and maybe looking more at the images. How do you sort of maximize the value of good copy, you know, on Amazon?
Yeah, so one of the cores of direct response is basically controlling the experience of how someone finds out that you're selling to them. So one of the most common things we do in direct response, and I think people see this all the time, is like we create a news angle or an advertorial or something that's seemingly nothing to do with a product. It's maybe like these five common household items significantly contribute, like raise your risk of Alzheimer's. And it's like, oh, these five items, like I don't want to get Alzheimer's. So like you read these items and then you find out, oh, it's like actually selling a product like way down the line. And the whole thing was like to get you to buy, to like read that far, like invest that time. Cause if you're not investing that time, like you're just skimming and you're like, oh, this is another, like this is nonsense. And then you just leave. So Amazon really like cuts out so much of what makes direct response effective, which is why I think that branding strategy is so powerful. And even though I'm a copywriter, like, when you're asking me about Amazon, like that's what I'm telling you, is like the branding is so important, because like I feel like copy on Amazon, like a lot of that is reviews. Like the good reviews are going to be the copy that people are reading, as opposed to the A+ page and stuff.
Yep.
Unless you're like phenomenal writing, which I'm saying like that's what you should aim for. But in my experience, like when we were launching products, we definitely focus on more of a holistic approach, because like the branding, people are on Amazon to get cheap, but no one wants cheap. Like we all want that luxury product for cheap. So if you have that amazing presentation that makes them feel like they're getting luxury and you have the cheap price tag, that's like kind of a recipe for success on Amazon. And the copy is definitely a part of that. And I would say for sure, put in the work to write good copy. Another thing that copy can do, which is cool, is kind of like negate bad reviews. This was a tip I learned from Ben Settle, who's an extremely good marketer, email marketer. Mm-hmm. And he says that like basically if you have a one-star review where it's like this happens, like the inventory, maybe like a batch of inventory gets cracked or something, and you just have a string of all these bad reviews saying, oh, it arrived broken, all this stuff, you can actually mention in the first bullet, we used to have like you basically say like we solved the packaging problem. And now 100% guarantee that your product will arrive completely fixed. You know, like you can actually engage with the reviews a little, and you can kind of like counter negative reviews within the copy if you think to do that. Because I know one bad review can ruin a listing, so that's a way to counter that.
Yeah. I'm thinking of a brand that has a nine count of it's a food product, and they're going to go to a 12 count. They're going to do it at the same price, and some of the reviews mention like great product but a little expensive. And so you can go, we've increased from 9 bars to 12 and kept our great, low price or
Exactly.
something, right? Or kept the price the same or something. And you can offset some of the things that people are going to read in a review. If in that bullet point, if they're reading it, but you can try to incorporate that into, infographics and, your copy into your images, as well. I think one of the other areas is, in terms of just copy, is that where Amazon sellers can really utilize great copy. And again, I think a lot of Amazon sellers don't really have expertise, let's say, in email marketing, because email marketing is just not part of the game of selling on Amazon. So they don't really have expertise, but they are capturing customer information from utilizing, an insert that sends you to some kind of landing page or a text platform or something to get a lifetime warranty or get some kind of incentive. And so there's probably, great opportunity. Like, what are some pieces of advice for, okay, like, for example, I'll give you a example I have right now. We have an insert that says, text this number to get a lifetime warranty on the product. We take the person, they text the number, we ask them for their Amazon email and order number. We activate their lifetime warranty, ask them how they like the product. If they like it, we ask for a review. If they've had a problem, also a great place to, negate negative reviews or avoid them by solving their problem or refunding or whatever. From there, we haven't yet taken that person and now taken their email, put it into an autoresponder to market to, which now we can because they've opted in and they've given us their email. What's a good starting point to transition to get that customer either purchasing again on Amazon or maybe now move them over to your Shopify store?
So one thing to realize is that when you launch a product on Amazon, if it's successful at all, you're going to get this Google spillover traffic because people are searching for the brand and searching for the product on Google to confirm their purchase. So the number one thing I would say for people to start doing is like have a website where it's a very like make sure that the website has a very clear email opt-in box with something of value. So for essential oils, for example, we wrote a book like 200 natural remedies. Like it was 200 natural remedies with essential oils. The title was much better than that, but that was the gist of it, is all these different remedies they could start using right away. And so people would search, they're looking for essential oils on Amazon, then they'd search our brand, come to our website, and then we get a lot of emails through that as well, just from that spillover traffic. So that combined with what you're saying, that'll start to build like a healthy email list. And then I would say, I mean, with email, it's a little harder with Amazon. Like, this is why I mostly focus off Amazon right now, because like email, it's like you're sending people to Amazon, but like you have to be very careful within your marketing that you're selling your brand, because like you're sending people to Amazon and you may just be selling them the product.
Someone
And
else's
so like
product.
then they start buying someone else's product. So email is insanely powerful. Like I can't even begin to describe how email is, especially if you have like a Shopify website or something like that. Like emailing every single day is by far the fastest way to like increase your money that I've ever seen, complete, like bar none. If you're doing nothing with email and you start sending an email every single day, then you're gonna see sales like skyrocket. And there's a major art to sending these kind of emails, and we can talk about that, but I also give some references. Ben Settle is definitely my favorite marketer. And there's a lot of people within the direct response world who will teach you how to write these good emails. But basically, a really important rule is that you don't you basically put your relationship with the customer first. And so you don't just want to send them like, hey, we're having a sale. Like you want to send them if they're buying like sales again, you might they're like into health and stuff. So you could say like you could send an email like try this next time you have a headache, this quick like unique 5 second cure. Like that's an email. And like you go through, here's how you do the cure. If you have other health problems like trouble seeing or trouble sleeping, then you might like this essential oil. So that's basically what you can get by going here now. And that's basically the gist of it is like you're sending them an email that like you're just sending them an email every day that's like helping them, but like at the end you're pitching it. And there's a lot more to it, but like I would definitely say start collecting those emails. And yeah, I would email every day to send on regardless, because that's going to grow your Amazon sales, even though you're going to see this some that you may like not every sale is going to come to you through Amazon because they have so many other options and it's not controlled as like your own website. But I would still
And actually, if you use an Amazon Associates link, then number one, you can number one, if they buy any other product, I think within 24 hours on Amazon, you get an affiliate commission. So you can at least monetize that, but then you can also kind of track, who bought, unless you use a coupon code and you could track that way, or maybe using Amazon attribution, which is kind of a newer way to track. But one thing also is you can send them to your Amazon storefront, which I think is a little bit of a better way to do it because you're at least sending them to like this mini website within Amazon. But yeah, everything you're saying makes a lot of sense. What I learned, many years ago, the kind of little that I know about email marketing is you want to keep the person on the list. And if you're giving them like 70% value, mix it up where it's like 70% value and maybe 30% promotion or something like that. And so the person basically can't get off the list, right? Because you gave them something like I will unsubscribe from a lot of emails that are pitching, but if I get emails that are valuable, even if they email me more than I like, I'm afraid to get off the list because I'm afraid I may miss something, right? That's going to come in some kind of, some kind of email that will give me some kind of value that I don't want to miss on. So I'll sort of just, archive, delete the emails that I don't like, but I'll stay on the list because I know that once a month there's something good in the email that I pick up that's valuable to me. And so I'll stay on the list. And I think you kind of want to think about how do I keep somebody from like not they just the emails are so good they can't get off the list, right? Like there's so much value offered in the email. And then, yeah, the thing is like essential oil recipe to avoid headaches. And then PS we're having a sale on our essential oil headache solution package, right?
Yeah,
At
and then
20% off now.
yeah,
Kind of at the
you might
end,
do it in
right?
the PS or you might do it in the conclusion, and really just that's if people just focus on like you need to figure out who your customer is, do that Amazon research and really understand like the problems they're facing, 'cause there's going to be like a lot of like your customers are going to face like in general like a bunch of different unique problems, and if you can categorize those and understand those, then every email you send can just basically focus, and that's what I'm talking about when I say you need to write what people want to hear, basically, is like you need to like build this focus of the problems they have and understand how they want to solve that problem, and then you just connect it all to your product. Like, so it's not too much sales. It's mostly like here's an idea on how to solve your problem. If you'd like an even more effective solution, an Amazon customer just said this about our essential oils and it's 20% off for right now or something like that. So you can keep the sales pitch simple. But if you take that approach and you send an email every day, if you have a decent sized list, even more so off of Amazon, even more so, if you have a Shopify website with like 5,000 people on a list and you start emailing every day, that's gonna make you more money. right off the bat.
And do you think emailing every day? I mean, it sounds like you've said it several times, so it sounds like you don't have a problem, and you may actually think it's beneficial to email every day rather than
Absolutely.
once a week.
I mean, the more you email, the more money you're going to make. So I've run into this a ton of times with clients where they're kind of skittish about emailing. They have like these gut feelings, like they don't want to bother people. They don't like want to squeeze all the money out of the list. But in my experience, it's just more emails equals more sales. So you have to figure that out for yourself, like if you want to make more sales or not. And at the end of the day, we don't really know how people are responding to our emails. And we don't really know, like, I mean, yeah, like you might annoy a lot of people, but maybe you help one person as well. Like, I mean, it depends what you're selling. If you're selling something that actually helps someone, then like you want to give them chances to buy, you know? And like, so yeah.
Definitely. So how do you work? I know you do sort of copywriting and focus on direct response copywriting. How do you work with I guess e-commerce sellers, e-commerce brands? You kind of do you come in sort of from a consulting standpoint and also a implementation standpoint of saying, okay, I'm going to write out your, five, six email sequence when you get people onto your list. Do you help them revamp their Shopify pages or Amazon listings with better copy? Like, how do you come in and able to help e-commerce
Yeah,
brands
so
sell more?
basically figure out what they're doing and where we can use direct response to improve it. And it's usually really easy because just not a lot of people are really thinking about this. So yeah, emailing every day is a huge win. Or I might run a sale because a lot of people just aren't running sales as often as they should. Like I think you should run a sale about every 6 weeks. Just because the scarcity of a sale drives so much buying. And that's another thing people don't realize about copy is like there's some big wins you can get pretty easily, and scarcity is the number one. Like that was kind of my hack when I was a beginner. Like I didn't really know any of the other tricks, but like if I could say like, oh, this offer is ending tonight at midnight, like that just drives action. So adding stuff like that.
And I think that like, in sort of having our initial conversation about, marketing and integrity, I think that's a great way to market. If there is actually an offer that's ending at midnight, right? What I've seen a lot of what I would call scammy marketers is they say that in an email, but then you click the next day and the offer is still there, right? Because they're not really standing behind what they said. And I think that's when you kind of lose integrity. But if you do offer a sale that actually ends and or some kind of offer that has scarcity built in, and it's a great way to market. And reading Robert Cialdini's book on influence, I think will give you a lot of insight into the art of using the psychology of persuasion and what some of those triggers are for that, for people to get
Yeah,
them to
for
take
sure.
action.
So yeah, that's a huge thing. Also, another way that you can really grow sales these days is Facebook ads. I do that a lot because the strategy is super simple to make more money. It's like you just need to acquire people at break even, and then or profitable if you can, and then you need to make the money up on the back end with more products through email, basically. So a lot of times we'll come up with a funnel which will break even or even a little money on the front end. And then with all of our offers on the back end through email, we're able to become profitable. So that's a huge way to grow a business so quickly, is if you're able to get a break even campaign that's bringing you maybe like 1,000 like qualified leads every single day, and then you're emailing that list every single day. It's just an insane amount of growth, and it all compounds well. So it's a very simple process, but like it really all does come down to email for me, because that's like where you're really communicating with people on a personal level. And so that's where I have the
Yeah,
biggest
absolutely.
wins. And I know it's not, yeah, as related for Amazon as it is on a web, have more control, but I do think email can still help. I think Amazon sends you a lot of qualified traffic to your website. So if you're able to start capturing those emails and start emailing those people every day, you're definitely going to boost. And like you said, you can use an affiliate link so you can really see how much that is.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely, sellers should be focused on, one, how to build a list off of the Amazon customer, and two, how do I not have to rely on Amazon as much? And I don't think that that's your day one thing. I think your day one on Amazon is just trying to get some products up and sales. But once you have a business that is, once you have a business that is working and generating a profit, you should invest. Then it's a good time to invest into, okay, I'm going to build out a Shopify site. I'm going to, get this list and off Amazon and, get them on email campaign. I'm going to focus on Shopify. I'm going to utilize Facebook ads and add these other elements. But I think Amazon has been so much less work, for sellers that they haven't necessarily focused on those areas, sometimes until Amazon has forced them to by suspending them or giving them that jolt of reality that, maybe you're relying too much on Amazon, which even if you are selling on Shopify, the reality is most sellers will still generate, 70, 80% of their sales on Amazon, but at least having a list and the ability to not lose your business, if your Amazon listing gets taken down, I think is important. And one brand I thought of that I remember being on, this brand was on Shark Tank maybe a few years ago, but this brand called Red Dress Boutique. One of the I think Mark Cuban invested. One of the things that they did and how they grew so fast is a clothing brand is they basically went on Facebook and show them like different designs and kind of ask them what do you want us to make? What do you like? What do you want next as far as like a clothing product? And their audience bought, sort of voted on it. They were emotionally invested, and then of course when you go launch that product, the person already asked for it. So utilizing that, I think other areas where we didn't really jump into, but I imagine you could be very helpful for people where copy I think is extremely important is like Kickstarter, and launching a brand on Kickstarter. I'm sure video plays a big role in that and the idea, but the copy itself and the positioning is, I would think extremely important, with Kickstarter, as well. So how do people get in touch with you, Michael, and, see if there's an opportunity for you to work with them on improving what they're doing from a
So I have a
copywriting standpoint.
website, it's mscollins.com, but actually right now I'm pretty booked with clients for the most part. If it's a
Okay.
special project, I would be willing to look at it for sure. But I think something that maybe is even more valuable I can give to your audience is I still have a lot of my connections in China. So I feel like on this podcast, like it's interesting you're asking me all these copywriting questions, but really at the end of the day, when it comes to Amazon, I'm just like, make a better brand, like make a more beautiful luxury brand. And the reality is it's going to be hard to do that if you're sourcing your packaging in the US, or you're not really putting, you don't have the connections in China. 'Cause like, if you haven't lived there, if you don't have the connections, like I can't even really imagine like what that's like dealing with that side of things, because I never really got into Amazon until I was in China. So, if you're the kind of person who feels that their product could see a big boost from new packaging and stuff, but you don't want to pay more for it, you want to pay the same price, then maybe you can get in touch with me, and I have those connections in China, so I can probably help you do that.
Cool.
Sweet.
I'm sure people will be reaching out. I think that's awesome. I think it's a great area to focus if you haven't, and when I look at sellers' storefronts and listings, I feel like for the most part, there's always an area that could be improved, whether it's video or just better storefront or better design. I actually have we have a creative director that's starting with us, actually starting Monday on my team, and basically made this hire because we basically just know that the need for creative is just increasing so much, and it's a really way to increase revenue and sales. So yeah, thanks. I'm sure people will be reaching out to you. Thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate your time. Wish you
Thank you,
a
man. You
happy
too.
Happy New Year. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Wish everybody a happy new year and an amazing 2021 to come. And I'll see you on the next episode of the podcast.